May we now please take our Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter, and if you're using the Scofield Bible, page 1297, Hebrews chapter 7, beginning with verse 23 and reading through the remainder of the chapter. These six verses, we'll read the verses responsively. And may I point out, please, that verse 25 is the text verse. And let's stand, everyone standing for the reading of God's Word, as always is our custom. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men nigh priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. And let's pray. Father, it's wonderful to know that you indeed are our high priest. We thank you for that ministry that you fulfill in behalf of these, thy children. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you make all things possible. And of course, you make this gathering possible this morning. Thank you for church, for First Baptist Church of Hammond. Thank you for the wonderful ministry that we enjoy. Now we pray that you'd bless this morning. Make it a special day. Make it a special service. And bless, we pray, to our help and our learning, the preaching, and bless the preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
As you know, I have been speaking on different texts from the Bible, famous texts in the Bible, important texts. And as far as I know, for the entire summer, I plan to speak on important texts in the Bible. Ah, what more beautiful text can you find than Hebrews 7:25? Don't look at it. But wherefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Ah, here's a text that's gilded with gold. A text that the sinner may clutch as a drowning man would clutch the hands of his rescuer. I was thinking last night, God paints in many colors. He paints marvelously the crimson of the sunset. He paints beautifully the azure blue of the ocean. He paints strikingly the green of the valley. He paints breathlessly the scarlet of the poppies. He paints peacefully the silver of the dewdrop. He paints exquisitely the gold of the morning. And yet God never paints more lovely than he paints, or that which is more lovely than that which he paints in white. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I want to dissect that little verse for a while with you. There's as much Bible teaching and theology in that one verse as you will find in many entire chapters in the Bible. Think about it for a minute. Wherefore he is able. That's a pretty good start, isn't it? I love that song. He is able to deliver thee. Boy, I like that. He is able. He is able. Church isn't able, but he is able. And Lord's Supper isn't able, but he's able. And your good works aren't able, but he's able. And I, as a preacher, am not able to save you, but he's able. And the priest can't save you, but he is able. He is able. And it says he's able to save to the uttermost. Somebody said from the guttermost to the uttermost. He is able to save to the uttermost. And who? Them that come to God. How do you get to God? By him. By Jesus. Well, how does that keep you saved? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. This morning, if I commit some sin, and I don't want to, but if I do, The Lord, the Father takes out his pen, gives it to the recording angel, said, Hiles, send again. And Jesus said, hold it there, angel. I already paid for that. I paid for that. It's all cared for now. And so the Father says, well, I can't charge it twice, because if I charge anybody twice, I'd be a crooked and I couldn't be God. And so then the choir section, they make some dirty remark while I'm preaching. And the Lord says, get this big magic marker, angel, and write down. And Jesus said, hold it, hold it. I already paid for that. I like that. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Father, bless the message. And I pray this morning you'll help us to revel and rejoice in the truth of our salvation. And those that have it not, may they come to know this salvation to the uttermost by coming to God through Jesus, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The most neglected place in the Bill Rice Ranch is a little place at the top of not too sharp a hill, not too high a hill, but an incline that goes up, I'm guessing, maybe 200 yards. It's sort of a U-shape of trees around it, and then there's a walkway, a concrete or asphalt walkway that leads. It must be 5 or 6 feet wide. It leads up to the top of a little hill. And just before you go in the forest and go higher up into the hill or little mountain there, there are three, marble boxes, crypts. And on the left is buried Joe B. Rice, the evangelist brother of Dr. John and Dr. Bill Rice. And in the middle is lies the body of Dr. Bill Rice, my good friend of many years. And on the right, over here, lies the body of Dr. John R. Rice, with whom I preached and with whom I fellowshiped and whom I, of many years, and whom I knew very, very, very intimately. And late in the afternoon on Friday, I was preaching, as I do every year at the Founders Week at Bill Rice Ranch. Late in the afternoon on Friday, I tiptoed up that little concrete walk to the top of the little hill there. And just before entering into the woods, I stood in front of the grave for some time of my good friend, Dr. John Rice. And he and I sang a duet together. He carried the tune Up in Heaven, and I didn't. And we sang, the windows of heaven are open, open, and as he used to do it. And I sang Victory in Jesus by myself, nobody there. God enjoyed it. You don't enjoy my singing, but God enjoyed it. And Dr. Rice enjoyed it. And then I sang, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, shadows all done. We'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. And I sang it and stayed there a while. And then as I opened the Bible, my eyes lighted on Hebrews 7:25. And I just stood there and wept and shouted and clapped my hands and praised the Lord that He is able to save to the uttermost. That means He's able to save on earth. He's able to save at death. He's able to save for eternity. That means He's able to save until the last second of the last minute of the last hour of the last day of our lives and then into eternity. That means He's able to save to the last inch of the last foot of the last yard of the last mile on our journey to glory. And I rejoiced, and I had something else to preach this morning, but I decided I want to preach on this. Wherefore, He is able also to save to the uttermost. Them that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. I want to just take it piece by piece this morning. He is able to save. You will not find any better words in the English language. He is able to save. Now, if He wanted to save and wasn't able, you and I would be in a mess. But if He is able and didn't die for us and pay the penalty, we'd be in a mess. But He is able to save. 'Tis the grandest theme on the mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest news that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. And so He is able to save. John Bunyan loved this scripture because early one morning he got to doubting his salvation. Did you ever doubt your salvation? And, oh, how could a crook like me be saved? People say, how did you ever doubt that? No, I've doubted Brother Colston's salvation often, but never mind. And this one group, I've never doubted their salvation. That's the bass section of the choir. I never have doubted their salvation. I know they're all heathen, but no doubt about it. But I guess all of us occasionally have doubted maybe. We get looking to ourselves instead of Jesus. We get looking down instead of looking up, as I'll say tonight. We get looking at others instead of Calvary. And we go, oh, am I really saved? Somebody this morning is saying, I just wonder, am I really saved? And John Bunyan got up one morning and he wrestled with that thing and fear gripped his soul and guilt and unworthiness. And all morning long he was wrestling with this thing. Am I really saved? Is it really true? Did Jesus really die for me? Am I really going to heaven? He wrestled all day long with that thing. And then about between 7 and 8 that night, he was thumbing through his Bible and came to this jewel in the coffers of the Word of God. And it says, wherefore he is able also to save them that come to God by him. And John Bunyan jumped up and began to shout, he is able! He is able! He is able! He's able! And all the doubts fled and assurance came. Why? He is able to save. I say this morning, if you're here and not saved, the church is not able to save, but Jesus is able to save. If you're here this morning and not saved, the Lord's Supper table is not able to save, but Jesus is able to save. If you're here this morning, may I say, the Pope is not able to save. He's hardly able to stay out of the hospital these days, and I'm not being critical of him, because I'm not able to save either, but Jesus is able to save. If you're here this morning and without Christ and not saved, may I say, this church is not able to save, and the Baptists are not able to save, and the Presbyterians are not able to save, and the Methodists are not able to save, and the Rabbi is not able to save, and the priest is not able to save, and confirmation is not able to save, and living a good life is not able to save, and turning over a new leaf is not able to save. I got some good news for you. He is able to deliver thee. And so the writer said, he is able, wherefore he is able also to save. Years ago, I love this little story. Years ago in Northampton, an Irishman named Connell was sentenced to die on the gallows. And after he'd already been sentenced to die on the gallows to be hung, a preacher named Philip Doddridge, you folks who know church history have heard the name Philip Doddridge. Philip Doddridge got concerned about this fellow Connell and felt like he was not guilty of the crime for which he had been convicted and sentenced. So he decided to take his case, and he proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that at the time of the crime, Mr. Connell was 120 miles away from where the crime was committed. But the sentence had already been given, and nobody would change it, and so they took Mr. Connell to hang him on the gallows. And so as he was going to the gallows, on the way, he had to go take a trip, and they said, do you have one last request? He said, yes. On the way to the gallows, I'd like to go by the home of Reverend Philip Doddridge. And so they said, okay. So the party detoured a little bit and went by the home of Philip Doddridge. And Mr. Connell, on the way to the gallows, he got in front of his house and knelt on the doorstep, and he, with tears streaming down his cheeks, Mr. Connell said, he said, Reverend Doddridge, he said, every hair of my head thanks you. Every throb of my heart thanks you. Every drop of my blood thanks you. You tried to save me. You did all you could to save me, but you couldn't save me. You can say that same thing to your good works. You can bow before your good works and say, you did your best to save me, but you couldn't save me. You can bow before your heathen gods and say, you did your best to save me, and you couldn't save me. You can bow before your denomination and say, you did your best to save me, but you couldn't save me. I can bow before my Jesus and say, you did your best to save me, and you were able to save me to the uttermost. Ah, I like that. He is able to save. You just come to the cross today and kneel beneath the cross of Jesus and look up to Calvary and see His shed blood and see His wounded side and see the scars and the pierced hands and hear Him as He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And lift up your hands in holy hosanna and say, 'tis the grandest theme on the mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. And so the writer of Hebrews said,
I've often said, I don't know who wrote Hebrews. I think Paul did. If he didn't, I think Barnabas did. If he didn't, I think Apollos did. If he didn't, I think John Rice did. But one of the four wrote Hebrews, of that I'm sure. But it says he's able to save, I like this, to the uttermost. To the uttermost. What does that mean? That means he's able to keep you saved as long as God be God. That means he's able to keep you saved as long as eternity. That means he's able to keep you saved forever and ever and ever and ever. That means you'll never get lost again. That means you're always saved. He is able to save the uttermost. But that means something else. That means this. It means he's able to save and give you life, abundant life to the uttermost. Happiest person in this town today is not the fellow went out and wiggled last night to disco. He's not the happiest fellow in town. He's sore this morning all over. And the happiest person in town is not the fellow who went out last night, happiest fellow on the naval base, the happiest fellow down at Chattanooga Air Force Base. It's not the fellow went out last night and got drunk and came. He's having a hangover today. He's got problems this morning. Happiest person in this town today is not the fellow went out last night to the body house and got some venereal disease and went home with a guilt conscience. He's not the happiest person. The happiest person in this town today is that one that can sing, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and my heart's a song. The one who can sing, wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost. Ah, you say, preacher, I want to have fun, then get saved. You got to all turn cattywampus. You get saved, then you have fun, Buster. Oh, I'm going to live it up, have all the fun in life I want to have. Someday when I get old, can't have any more fun, I'll get saved. In the first place, God won't take you then. Stan's going to get married. Some retarded girl, a blind girl, one or the other. But let's suppose Stan said, what's her name, first name, I've forgotten? Kim. Sam said, Kim, darling, I love you. I love you. And I want you to be mine. And he said, would you marry me? And she said, I love you, Stan, but not right now. So Stan comes back when he's 25 and says, Kim, are you 25 yet? Kim, I love you, Kim. I've loved you for 5 years. Would you marry me? And she said, I love you too, Stan, but I'm having too much fun. I want to wait now. There's George and Bill and Pete and Jim and Harry and Mohammed and all the others that I like. Not yet. So Stan comes back when he's 35 and he says, I've loved you 15 years. Would you marry me? Oh, I love you. One of these days I'm going to marry you. But not now. Having too much fun. Stan comes back when he's 65 and says, would you marry me, Kim? And Kim says, well, Stan, one of these days I'm going to get around to it. If Stan's got any sense, he wouldn't do that. I'd say after a few times, I'd realize there are other fish in the water besides Kim. I'd just bait for some other fish if I were you. And God's not going to hang around and wait till you live your life in sin and waste it. And all of a sudden when you die, you say, oh, but how about the dying thief, the dying thief? I've got news for you. He'd never heard the gospel before. He'd never heard it. And God's not going to let you get by with living your life in sin and putting off. But let me tell you something. You come to Jesus now while you're young. It's Jesus that brings the joy and salvation brings the happiness. And peace with God gives you delight and a happy life. And so he's able to save to the uttermost. There was one time named J.B. Goff. J.B. Goff had a godly mother. She taught him this verse. Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And this was her favorite verse. And Mrs. Goff taught her son J.B. this verse. And so J.B. Goff was reared at the knees of a godly mother. But when he was 18 years of age, he went to sin. He stayed in awful sin. You would not believe the awful things he did for 7 long years. And after 7 years, one night, he had a dream. And he dreamed that 3 giants came to see him. One giant, he said, who are you? And the giant said, I'm your past. And he said to the other giant, who are you? He said, I'm your present. He said to the other giant, who are you? He said, I'm your future. He turned to the first giant and said, what do you want? And the giant said to J.B. Goff, he said, I am your past. Recall the last 7 years. Recall all you've done. How in the world could you be saved? How could God forgive you after all you've done? And J.B. Goff trembled as he looked at the giant of the past, realizing all that he'd done. And then he looks to the little giant and says, "And you?" He said, "I'm the giant of the present." He said, "Look what you are. Look what you look like. Look what kind of a mess you've made of your life. Look at your ruined, wrecked life. Look at your body. You look like you're 70. And he did. Looked like he was 70 years old when he was 25. "I am the giant of the present. How could anybody such as you be saved? How would God forgive a wretch like you?" And J.B. Goff began to tremble. And he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm the giant of the future." He said, "How do you expect if you did get forgiven? You know how weak you are. You know that you can't keep yourself saved. You'd stumble again. You'd commit some more sins. You know I'm the giant of the future." And J.B. Goff remembered all of a sudden the little country church he used to go to, and the mother that used to sing in the church choir, and the times that she knelt beside him and taught him the Word of God. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brought back Hebrews 7:25, and he took wherefore he is able to save the uttermost. He said, "Get away, you giant of the past. He is able to save the uttermost. He can wash my sins away. He can forgive every sin of my past." And he said, "As for you, giant of the present, I know I'm not much," but Jesus didn't say I had too much. He said, "Ho, him that thirsteth, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And I can come, and I do come. And get away." He took Hebrews 7:35 and threw it at the giant of the present, and he fled. He turned to the giant of the future and said, "Hey, I got news for you too, old big old giant. He ever liveth to make intercession for me." He said, "If I stumble in the future, he will pick me up. If I sin in the future, he will plead my case." He said, "Take Hebrews 7:25. And the giant of the past fled, and the giant of the present fled, and the giant of the future fled. Why? Because no giant that Satan can give, or no imp out of hell can stand before. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And what does it say? It says to come to God. You got to get to God. How do you get to God? You get to God by Jesus. The modernist says, "I believe in God, but Jesus is not his son." And the modernist is going to hell because you get to God by Jesus, you see. And the liberal says, "Jesus is not virgin born. We believe in God. We don't believe in the virgin born Savior." In the first place, every time anybody says that, it makes my blood roll boil. A preacher stood in my presence less than 3 weeks ago and said, "I believe that in God, but don't believe that Jesus is the virgin-born Son." It's all like a dude to punch him right in the nose. You say, "Why? He's calling my Savior an illegitimate child." If Jesus Christ was not the virgin-born Son of God, then Mary was a harlot, and Jesus is an illegitimate child. Don't you dare call my Savior an illegitimate child. That makes me mad. If you get to God, you'll get there through Jesus. You won't get there through the church. You won't get there through the Pope. You won't get there through your goodness. You won't get there through the fact that you were sprinkled as a baby. You won't get there because you got confirmed as a child. If you get to God, you'll get to God through His Son, Jesus, and what we represented a while ago in that broken body and that shed blood of our Savior. That's the only hope you got. When Mr. Goff was 69 years of age, 44 years had passed since that day. He went to Philadelphia and preached to an audience of young men. And as he was preaching to a great crowd of several thousand young men, he stood up to speak, and 69 years old and his health was about gone. He stood up and looked out and he said these words, young men, keep your record clean. Boy, that's good advice for any young person in this room this morning. Keep your record clean! And all of a sudden, he felt a pain. And he grabbed his chest and held on to the pulpit. This old man whose mother taught him years ago, wherefore he is able to save the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And who at 25 claimed that for his salvation, and now he says to this great crowd of young men in Philadelphia, young men, keep your record clean. He pauses for a moment. He grasps his chest and says in a weaker voice, young men, keep your record clean. And then death wraps its ugly fingers around his soul. And as he stumbles to the floor, he shouts, young men, keep your record clean!
And then they came and gathered around him as he was breathing just the last breath or two. And they heard him whisper, "Wherefore, he is able also to save to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us." And that's the scripture on which my eyes fell, as for the first time since his death, I stood at the grave of my beloved brother, Dr. John Rice, sang to the top of my voice, "Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you." And then there came into my soul that song. I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his longing, his precious blood atoning, and I repented of my sin and won the victory. Sing it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing. And then after I'd sung that, I began to sing with Dr. John, "The windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight." And then my eyes lighted on this verse, "Wherefore, he is able to save, also to save to the uttermost, that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us." And then I did what everybody ought to do in a time like that. I gave myself anew, doing what I could to make up the gap, to make up the gap. "Wherefore,
he, only he, is, not was, is, able to save to the uttermost
those that come to God, our heavenly